From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. A record number of Georgians cast their votes in the midterm election yesterday. Contested elections went into the wee hours of the morning, which includes the race for governor in a key congressional district. We're going to catch up with the rest of the races and also look at the state of Georgia's elections as a whole. We have GPB's Bill Nigut. He's host of Political Rewind, up all night working. Nice to have you here. And joining us by the phone is Maya Prabhu. She is State House reporter for the AJC. And Maya, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning. A long night for both of you. A long night for all of us in Georgia. Bill, just how much of a record turnout overall did Georgia's elections go the way that folks predicted? Many people?
You know, it's really, well, first of all, we virtually approached the kind of turnout we see in presidential elections here. We came within about 5% of that, and there's still a few votes out there to count. But here's what really, here's a great way to visualize it. If people go to the Secretary of State's website, there's a map of voter turnout. And that map, it starts at around, I think, green, light green is 50%, counties with 50% of the vote, and it gets darker green as you increase the vote. The entire state of Georgia on that map is one shade of green or another. There are counties where 60, 65% and more of the people voted. That's staggering in a midterm election.
Yes, so a lot of people motivated. And of course, the biggest news on the national level is that Democrats took back the House. So let's start with the races for House seats in Georgia. Sixth District includes Cobb County and Metro Atlanta. There, Democrat Lucy McBath ran against Republican incumbent Karen Handel. As of airtime, still undecided. What's the background on that race, Bill?
First of all, remember, Karen Handel won that big special election when she ran against John Ossoff, the most expensive House race people had ever seen. But it does now appear unlikely that she's going to be able to catch McBath. I don't think the race has been called yet, but Republicans that I'm talking to this morning think that Lucy McBath is going to win that seat. She, of course, Lucy McBath had two big issues. She lost a son to gun violence in a terrible, terrible incident in Florida, and she talked about that. She believes in gun safety laws. But more important, she really emphasized health care and said over and over again that it was the Democrats and she who could deliver a better health care. Make sure to protect ACA, to protect pre-existing conditions. And that seems to have resonated.
Well, Bill, another tight one was in the 7th District in Georgia, also Metro Atlanta. Voted Democrat in 2016 election for the first time since 1976. Their Republican Rob Woodall won the seat despite challenger Carolyn Bordeaux's numbers pretty much climbing throughout the night. In the end, about 50 votes separated the candidates. What does that tell us?
Well, so we should be careful about this because the 7th district encompasses all of Gwinnett County. Gwinnett County did, in fact, go Democrat, elected Hillary, voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. But it also includes a much more pure red county, Forsyth County above it. And so it is. While Carolyn Bordeaux certainly won Gwinnett County, those Republican voters up in Forsyth are the ones who made that race so terribly close. It does appear that Woodall is going to win this race. But again, we'll see. There are a bunch of absentee ballots, provisional ballots. We'll wait and see what that shows us.
Boy, the wait and see is pretty much the theme of this post-election. Secretary of State race going to a runoff also because no candidate got more than 50% of the vote. This is the role that deals with election security, voting rights, taking Brian Kemp's office. It's been a prevailing national story, the role of that office during this election. Has either candidate chimed in on what's going on there?
Well, I mean, what we're going to see happen, and Brian Kemp started this himself, is we've now got a commission in place that the Secretary of State's office has empowered to look at new voting machines. They'll go through their process, see which machines they want, but then it's going to be up to the legislature to fund those machines. That's part of the issue. Can voters in Georgia rely without a paper trail on the accuracy of the machines? Beyond that, this issue of voter suppression will no doubt linger well beyond the election that we just went through. There are Republicans say that the problem with voting in Georgia is that people who shouldn't be voting are somehow doing it. They want to tighten security. Mm-hmm. Democrats are saying, no, no. What's happening is Republicans are literally trying to suppress potential Democratic votes. And they're going to continue fighting that for months and months to come.
Maya, let's check in on some of the other races that you've been covering for the AGAC. Republican Jeff Duncan won Lieutenant Governor's race through his support behind his Republican ticket mate.
I'm anxious to work with Brian Kemp to be a part of this new conservative generation we've got going here. I'm anxious to work with Brian Kemp. I'm anxious to be a part of putting you first.
Any surprises there in that race?
No, not really. We had poll numbers come out last week that showed Sarah Riggs Amico, the Democrat, within the margin of error, but still trailing Jeff Duncan. So with the excitement around the top of the ticket with Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams, if Amico was going to win, Stacey Abrams would have needed to win. You know, Stacey Abrams would have carried Amico. So it's not very surprising that Jeff Duncan, once he cleared the primary, I think it was more surprising that he won the primary. But once he cleared the primary, I don't think it was very surprising that he won last night.
Let's fill in on some other races for Ag Commissioner. Incumbent Gary Black will retain his seat. Here he is last night.
Somehow, maybe we captured your imagination with how important agriculture, because agriculture makes life better for everybody. We will stand with our family in Southwest Georgia.
Super challenging time for Southwest Georgia farmers. We've spoken to many of them. And, of course, a special legislative session is going to be opening on November 13th to allocate funds to clean up and help restore after the hurricane. So what is Black looking to do in that session, Maya?
I talked to him about this during the campaign, and he just said the best that they can do is just continue to support the farmers. You know, there's not really much that they can do. They can't, he said, you know, we can't control the weather, so there's no way to really prepare ahead of time to make sure that farmers don't have their crops wiped out, but just be there to support them when things like the storms happen.
Number of other incumbents retain their seats in statewide election. Mike Butler, reelected Labor Commissioner Richard Wood, will continue as schools superintendent. Chris Carr remain as attorney general. Any real changes otherwise in those races or real challenges, Maya?
No real changes. The only, you know, statewide areas where there might, races where there might be some changes are the Secretary of State that might go to, looks like it's going to a runoff, and then in the Public Service Commission, it looks like District 3 might go to a runoff. But other than that, pretty much everyone kept their seats.
So pretty much solid red. But Bill, you mentioned Gwinnett County earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, Gwinnett, one of the most diverse counties in the whole country, finally elected a minority to the county commission for the first time ever.
Yep. Now, they elected two Democrats, by the way, which they haven't had for 30 years on the county commission there. And one of them is the grandson of Chinese immigrants, and he is a gay commissioner. He'll be the first gay commissioner they've had. And the other is an African-American woman. Boy, is Gwinnett County changing.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things that's being looked at as a bellwether, right, for demographic-driven political change in Georgia. So what are we seeing there?
We're seeing Gwinnett County, which is so incredibly diverse, finally step up. And minority voters are feeling empowered in that county for the first time because their numbers continue to increase. So, for instance, Abrams beat Kemp 56-43% in Gwinnett County last night. And that continues the fact that Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in Gwinnett back in 2016. Gwinnett County has a couple of Senate seats that are going to flip. Fran Millar has been a representative, a legislator for Gwinnett County for years and years. He last night lost to a Democrat, Sally Harrell. And in another race, David Schaefer, who was running for lieutenant governor, a Republican who'd represented Gwinnett for a long, long time, last night that seat also flipped and went to a Democrat, Zara Karinchak. So once again, you see this really remarkable flipping of certain districts and suddenly an injection of minority voices into our politics.
Well, I want to circle back around to what you said about the voting irregularity accusations. We got a tweet from Scott Collison. These down ballot and powerful wins, he puts in quotation marks, are ill-gotten. Kemp oversaw his own election. Secretaries of state need to be replaced with independent voters' commissions. How likely, you said this is going to continue to be an issue, how likely is that push going to go, especially with a predominantly Republican Senate and legislature, rather?
Well, I think you could imagine that someone with noble intentions in the next legislative session, not the special session, but the January session, could introduce legislation to call on a Secretary of State to step down from that office, recuse herself or himself when running for an election again. But that's not going to get anywhere. I mean, as long as Republicans are in control of the legislature, they're going to want to maintain the power they can. Although here's an interesting thing. I hadn't even thought about this. If John Barrow, the Democrat, wins the Secretary of State's office, what might Republicans try to do to take a little bit of the wind out of his sails? Should he decide that he either is going to run for reelection, he wants to run again for a higher office? I haven't even given this much thought, but I wonder how they might play with a Democratic Secretary of State in the session ahead. Maybe I'm just running on no sleep, but it might be interesting to see what they could do.
Maya, any thoughts for you there watching the races and also hearing from your colleagues at the AJC? How is that impacting those kind of accusations? How have they affected the election and the sense of how people feel about Georgia's integrity in elections?
You know, I've gotten some, you know, reader emails overnight, kind of thinking conspiracies like Brian Kemp is a Republican. He's running the election. Don't you find it interesting that all of the Republicans seem to have won by a margin of 51% to 57%? No, I don't necessarily find that interesting because, you know, a lot of people, most of the people that I spoke with after we did our poll voted straight party ticket. Brian Kemp got almost 51% of the vote. So it makes sense that others who are Republicans would get about 51% of the vote. But you can see that kind of distrust of the results because of all of the controversy around everything to do with this election.
Well, precincts did extend their hours because of issues all over Georgia. Three Fulton County polling places extended their hours until 9, 10 p.m. Booker T. Washington High School turned folks away after running out of provisional ballots and then extended their hours. Question for both of you. Common problems in Georgia elections, or have the polling mechanisms and processes and machinery in place caught up with the population growth in Georgia?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's very important, I think, for people to remember, given that there have been all of these accusations about Brian Kemp, Secretary of State, manipulating the elections, dealing with voter suppression accusations. It's very important to remember that the voting apparatus is in the hands of the counties, not the Secretary of State's office. So if there were counties where there were not enough voting machines and for people to get to the in and out quickly, and by the way, it was a very long ballot, so that kept people at their station longer than they might otherwise have been. But that's a county issue. And that's something that that people should take up with their elected officials in the county. Say, why did you have three machines in a precinct where you had people waiting for 2 hours? Those are budgetary issues. But that's not something to take up with the Secretary of State. That's something that you as a citizen can do with your county commission. What's wrong with you that we don't have enough machines?
So you mentioned how long the ballot was. Some ballot initiatives, Marcy's Law passed with a majority of the vote, Georgia Outdoor Stewardship Fund to protect the environmental resources in the state. Any real surprises there, Bill?
You know, not really. Marcy's Law, on the surface, sounds like, how can you
say no to victims' rights?
I will tell you something interesting about Marcy's Law, though. In its original form, it gave victims a much more powerful ability to weigh in on criminal proceedings throughout a case as it made its way through courts. The reality is that amendment was defanged quite a bit, and it really offers kind of minimal protections. So we'll see how it unfolds as it is enacted.
Early exit polling showed number one issue driving voters to the polls nationally, health care. How can we expect health care in Georgia to change due to this election? Or will we not know until we have a governor in place?
Well, I mean, Stacey Abrams wanted to expand Medicaid. That was the number one thing she ran on. And she didn't win. Or we don't think at this point she's going to win. We'll still see. If Brian Kemp is the governor, he's not going to expand Medicaid. He's going to look for certain kind of waivers that that people hope will help improve the health care situation in the state. But it was Stacey Abrams' showcase issue, and unless she forces a runoff, it's gone by the wayside.
So just a half a minute here, but Trump declared that this midterm election would be a referendum on his presidency.
Well, you know, here's what's interesting about that. If you look at the entire country, it was, in fact, suburban voters who said, we're not happy with President Trump. And in suburbs across the country, the places where Democrats picked up seats were people who apparently didn't think much of Donald Trump. That's exactly what happened in Cobb County and Gwinnett County last night. Suburban voters turned against many of their Republicans, and we can only imagine it's partly a protest against President Trump.
Well, Bill Nygut, we're going to be hearing a lot more about this on your shows in the coming days. Host of Political Rewind, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
And also Maya Prabhu, thank you from the AJC for taking some time with us after a long, long day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Virginia Prescott. This is On Second Thought. Stay with us.